When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, y'all? Kofi Kingston here, and I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks, depending on what that drink is, preferably non-alcoholic, you know?
How's it going? I'm the Celtic Warrior, Seamus.
Wardlow here.
Soda.
I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
Maple syrup.
Bye-bye.
I would never have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
Yay! Hi, y'all. You guys know what time it is. It's a time. It's Thursday night chaser time. So welcome, guys, to the dive bar of the IWC. It's wrestlingontherocks.com. I think we know who I am. I'm Ms. Amanda Jane, if you did not know. But did you know my co-host over here, the amazing Digi? Digi, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, you know. It's fun times. We are celebrating today. This is the first episode of the Boozies for the Thursday Night Chaser.
This is my maybe third Boozies, maybe four. But damn, I'm glad that Justin came along. So cheers, Justin.
Justin,
a lot of people visiting us today already.
And we have Chaos. Welcome.
All right. Well, you know, well, this drunken episode and this year's Boozies, at least on Thursday at Chaser, is brought to you by some friends of ours. Tell us who our friends are.
Fans First Sports Network. Holy crap.
Yes. one day there's gonna be one day where it's gonna be all good, and you know, woohoo, because that's why we're professionals. So you know what?
Last time, come on.
I know it's a tongue twister sometimes. I don't think I've had enough to drink, speaking of
that, may be true.
Yeah, that probably is true. So speaking of which, what's in your glass this evening, or glasses? Well,
I think glass is a little relative. I'm just saying. And then the black velvet.
Oh, excuse me.
You all right there? Yeah. I mean, this is essentially our New Year's episode, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah, booze up, people. So, me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you have my non-alcoholic, my COVID wife.
Right.
And because this is the last one I have until the season starts again, my last Golden State Cider Radical Guava.
Woo!
Cider with guava. Very, very delish.
It seems like.
My favorite. Cheers.
Yep. Cheers. Mm-hmm. Slush.
What I like about it is it has, unlike your normal flavored ciders, this one, boy, that guava is sure complimentary to the cider.
It hit y'all on the way out.
Yes. And it got a lot of, I will also say too, that with Golden State, they do have a lot of booze in their ciders, but that's not why I'm drinking them.
Fair.
I'm drinking them because they're really good. So anyways, I would love to get them to sponsor. But
sponsored, maybe not one sponsored. Day.
We'll get a sponsor, but for now it's sponsored, not sponsored.
For now on, we're just sponsored adjacent.
Yeah. Very adjacent. Mm. Very, very adjacent. So, because the boozies are a big, important part of our year.
Yep.
There's been stuff going on. So let's get to the birthdays and a little bit of news before we get this show on the road.
All right.
There's some big stuff that's happened in this last week. God, I feel like every week there's been something big coming out. Every week. And I think next week will be no exception. Right before Wrestle Kingdom.
A lot of contracts are coming up after Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Wrestle Kingdom because that's very interesting. There really aren't that many birthdays going into the end of the year. So here are birthdays. The Dapper Yapper Justin Roberts is celebrating a birthday. So, you know, happy birthday. Ray Fenix, happy birthday. This person, near and dear to my heart, freaking goddamn PCO. I love PCO. Oh.
PCO is amazing.
He's the nicest man. Scary as shit, but the nicest man. I swear, he's like, so nice.
For those of you who have never seen PCO, his entire gimmick is an old school black and white horror movie monster. And he's got, for a while there, he had the full neck gimmick, the full bars on the side of his head, and then without that, and the dude, he plays it. Like, he plays it well. He leans into it hard.
Mm-hmm. Nicest guy. Nicest guy. I think I did love him and Brody King tagging together in Ring of Honor.
Yep.
Villain Enterprises. Not because of the faction they were in, but the two of them had some really good chemistry. And those two guys together, that is very scary.
I liked his impact work. I felt
His impact work is phenomenal.
He went like for everything still... I've seen before, he was he went impact and I went, damn, where have you been?
Mm-hmm. Is he still with Impact?
I'm not sure. I think so, but they've kind of separated from him a little bit. Like he's kind of in the back. But it's much like Abyss. You know, when Abyss wasn't up front, Abyss he was in back.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I think that, you know, that's a great role for him, especially because his character work is phenomenal. But if you guys don't know who PCO is, you got to go check him out. So, you know, YouTube him.
I mean, if you can't get Sue Young, you might as well get PCO.
Yeah. That's a good one to say. Yeah. They're two. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Amazing. Speaking of Impact, you know who else is having a birthday?
Ooh, who's that?
Eddie Edwards.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah.
You know, and I will say this. Eddie is one that, you know, throughout the years, I'm like, he's had a lot of highs, had a lot of lows. But Eddie, for the most part, the last like year or so, he's been doing pretty awesome.
And with the Violent by Design stuff and that whole... Like, I wasn't a fan of the Violent by Design stuff, but we'll get to that. But the Violent by Design stuff, he was did amazing work. His retag with, where he was retagging with somebody. I don't know. That's not them not being good. That's me losing track of a name.
It happens.
Yeah.
I can't even say the name of our friends at Fans for Sports Network.
Hey, I just hope people can be patient with me because I'm going to remember probably when I'm two or three in. So we'll see how that works out.
Booze happens. And when booze happens, we remember everything.
That is why we're the dive bar of the internet wrestling community.
Absolutely. And sometimes I will add this interjection that some people that are in the IWC, I do not want to ever, ever, ever see them boozed or stoned or anything. Oh, Justin says, this wasn't a dig at TNA anyway, but I'd love to see Eddie Edwards on a bigger platform. Yeah, you know.
And he had a shot at the bigger platform, but I think he likes having the creative freedom because once you hit the big leagues, you're no longer doing your own gimmick and your own work. That's very rare.
Yeah.
But Impact, he can, you know, pitch it up the chain, take 10 minutes, and he's pretty well okay. So,
yeah. I think he also, like, it's been a very long time since, like, he hasn't, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, but the last time I know that, like, Eddie did Japan, he was tagging with Cabana at Noah during the Wrestle Tag League. But I don't think he's ever since then has gone back, because he used to wrestle with Noah quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, he would be actually one that I would like to see, you know, if New Japan are putting people into the fold, you know, again. I think he'd be he'd kind of really excel with that. Not saying that the strong program in the US, but even internationally, because he is, you know, it's not like he's not known in Japan. So so that's kind of my feeling there. Speaking of someone who needs a bigger platform, happy birthday to Matt Cross.
Matt Cross. Wow.
He's one of those veterans that just, you know, he deserves a bigger platform. I'm liked when pre-pandemic NWA, they had kind of brought him into the fold. I thought that was pretty awesome. You know, but even on the indies now, I don't see him as much as he used to be. I'm wondering, is it because the indies aren't what the indies were pre?
And it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
It really does.
True. But he still is the old wrestling champion. And I think it's over, like, I think, like, something insane, like, at least almost 1,200 days as old wrestling champion. That's a really cool little fun indie promotion. I wish they did it a little bit more often than they do, but that's a great one. It's a happy birthday to him. And, I mean, just double check, because I don't think there's anybody else, because then it starts the year again. Oh, and Laredo Kid. And that's it. So happy birthday, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Yeah. And we'll see you back in January when it's time to do it all over again. I will say this, though. there really aren't any birthdays right before. I'm a liar. There is one before. Two. Oh, my God. How can I be so rude? So rude. So there are two.
We can't have nice things.
Yeah, two more. Kevin Knight. Who, speaking of New Japan, is having a birthday. Happy birthday.
He's part of Soraya's family night.
No, not that one.
Okay.
No. This is a different Kevin Knight. This is
different night.
Get to fly or something. I don't know. But that guy. You okay. Yeah. He was teaming with Kushida, I think, with New Japan Strong. They were tagging for a little bit. And then finally, speaking of drinking, must wish warm birthday wishes to the goddamn my favorite freaking wrestling drinker, goddamn JR, because we all know drunk JR is best JR.
Best JR.
So happy birthday.
So. And I will say this, he is not my favorite drinker.
Who is your favorite drinker?
Cowboy James Storm.
Oh!
Sorry about your damn look.
Yep. Mm. Oh, yeah. God, him and damn Eli Drake tagging together in NWA. Wonderful.
That was hilarious.
Especially Beer the my favorite, and I think Let Marsh is probably his favorite promo, The Shoes of a Champion. That's goddamn promo. I will say this. I'm sorry, but I need to see some kind of LA Knight promo like that, because he's so over now. But if these people experience the Shoes of a Champion thing, God, I don't even want to know.
Hot, don't want to know, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are our lovely birthdays. But I will say, you know, we're on the heels of two things. We're on the heels of obviously, World's End, or whatever the hell AEW is calling the last one of the year.
Yeah.
that Wrestle Kingdom coming is, I mean, again, it's coming. I'm still not excited, but now I'm a little bit more excited.
I'm intrigued, not excited.
Well, I don't know if y'all know what we're talking about, and I'll tell you how I found out. I thought it's kind of hilarious. Okay, so looks like New Japan has a new president.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And who's the president? That's President Tanahashi with the good hair. Now, I think it's funny because I believe on episode one.
Yes.
Last week, we were talking about Tanahashi with the good hair.
I don't agree that Tanahashi should be president. I think it should have went to Masahiro Chono. But
that's just me. Where they're going with it. I see where they're going with it. Is I think that they're looking to him to revamp the product. You've got so many people leaving who are big keys. So what do you do? So that's going to be very, very interesting. So is it like, are you going to do this whole, hey, I'm going to, you know, because a lot of the roster does not have a contract anymore. So are you going to let them do these independent things? He mentioned teaming up with different promotions. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
And to sort of give an idea to anybody who's maybe new to this and just catching us on episode one. New Japan Pro Wrestling is a long time honored promotion for Japan. We're talking going back forever and a day. And Wrestle Kingdom is like their big blowout WrestleMania version. Mm-hmm. So when we say things like, you know, well, we don't know who the matches are. That's because you generally do. So there's a lot of new things and a new president, you know, who was just wrestling, what, 3 months ago? 2 months ago? You know, it's a bit of a step in a weird direction that we're not used to from that side of the pond.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, it's weird because also not only that, but you've got so many of their big top stars are leaving. I mean, you're losing Ocean Spray, you're losing Okada. Naito
Tanahashi
is
not Tanahashi, but left?
Naito
left.
Yep. Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a lot. And
I know their Bullet Club people are all, but like two or three are gone.
Yeah. I don't even know really what Bullet Club is anymore, besides like the I like to call them the JoJo rejects. the original, yeah, because that's what they are. They're the JoJo Bullet Club. But
it was only ever cool when AJ Styles was running it. That's my standpoint. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. I mean, Bullet Club has not been relevant since
the curtain. I'll
go there. It hasn't been. Bullet Club has not been the same since Tama Tonga left Bullet Club. Done. Said it. That's all I have to say.
I'd go even before then.
Really?
I would go the last big time they had it was the curtain call of Adam Cole.
No.
I can back up what I'm saying.
I don't think so. Because I don't think Adam Cole had that big of an impact in Bullet Club. There are other people who came after Adam Cole who had more of an impact with Bullet Club than he did.
He didn't, but it was the start of the Young Bucks being heels, like really heel, not just, I'm in a faction that does heely things. Like, they attacked their best friend.
Yeah.
So that was like the big switch. But after that, there was all movies and shows.
I'm not going to discredit the Switchblade era.
No.
I'm not going to discredit that at all, because Jay White, it took him a while. You know, it took me a long time to believe in that. And I liked Jay White before. But that was a very hard one. And then, of course, obviously, you know, we know that after Adam Cole, there was that little, you know, bit when it was Elite Run. Cody being part of it, downer. Downer. Well, I'm not going to say that.
No, the Ring of Honor Bullet Club was his, and he'll tell you that. Whatever was going on in Japan had nothing to do with what he was doing.
Because it was still Kenny.
Yep. It was Kenny's fault.
All the reins over there. I've even heard
he caught a lot of shit for the way it went down, because the guy who's the face of a faction is expected to carry that storyline. And for the longest time, he wasn't. Yeah.
No. You know who everyone wanted to be the leader of Bullet Club? A lot of people.
Yeah.
Look at my guy's own fucking faction and offshoot. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know. Yeah. So, you people, some of these people are very important. But anyways, so I found out about President Tanahashi because I was on Instagram. And I believe on episode one last week, I had talked about little Jeff Cobb. Yeah. How I was jealous of him because, you know. We talked about me touching the unicorn hair and everything. He posted another photo of Tanahashi straightening his hair. And I was like, he's like, oh, President Tanahashi. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? I was more like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, what? What?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, but then I messaged him. I said, God damn you. I'm still to this day jealous of your hair. That thing. He messaged me back. And he was like, I told you it was a special thing in life. Never
good hair is part of the product, man.
But I will say that Tanahashi now has president hair right now because he went all dark. Kind of put it behind him. We'll see what happens, Wrestle Kingdom. But I'm going to be, it's going to be very interesting to watch the product. Now it has me curious about when they're in San Jose in January. I'm very dead set against going because one, the tickets are kind of expensive, and two, I really don't want to pay for Ocean Spray.
Well,
one day. And, you know, I could totally, you know, my thing is I could go, and if I went, I would either have to excuse myself. Because I will ruin that for everybody that's there. And not because I'm trying to, like, you know, like, make everyone's time miserable. It's just, he's a piece of shit. And I don't like him. And
you know, there's heat.
And there's heat. He shoved a woman. And if you think that's acceptable, then you know what?
Don't. There's heat.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're
just... Some people are like, let's just not get into those weeds today.
Let's not go into those weeds. But I will say that it'll be very interesting to see what Tanahashi does. Speaking of...
also explains why we haven't seen the card.
Yes. This one, I'm really sad that our... first of all, I want to... We have tears in our beers. And I'm really sad that... Marsh can't join us in on this and weigh in how he feels, but excuse me. We're going to drink one out to the second retirement of Sean Spears.
I mean, I'm not drinking at that.
It means he's gone. But so here's my question.
Okay. Well, then I'm drinking to that.
Okay. That's what I'm saying is we're drinking to drinking the end of the career. Woo! You know, I ask myself, because this is his second time retiring, I believe. And if I am wrong, please at me and tell me I'm wrong. But
I'll tell you first right here.
Thought when I found out the news, because Marsh told me, because everybody knows if you are around these parts, that's Marsh's favorite wrestler is Sean Spears. And, you know, I don't know. Is he pulling a Leo Rush? Because he's unhappy and just is going to retire and he's going to come back again.
He's not retiring. He said, fuck this. Because he was in and then out. And then they got him back and then he's out again. Like, this is over with. Like
he provides no value.
Well, value regardless, you know. And without somebody controlling him and putting him with the right people, there is no point watching him.
Yeah. And then the other thing too with it is I didn't watch WWE at the time. I don't get the 10 bullshit.
It was supposed to be a, you know, he's the perfect 10 in terms of, yeah, it was supposed to be the, he's the perfect 10 in wrestling and everything that he does. And that was his whole spiel, as he would go to hit his move and he would do the 10 with his fingers like a 5-year-old. And even for NXT, who has a pretty rabid fan base, it really didn't catch any ground. Like, if it wasn't for everybody else in his faction, he would have just been forgotten.
Interesting. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like he was an attempt to try to get more of that fan base over, but didn't work very well.
I think he was friends with people on the inside, and that's why he got a job. And then when they found out it was a bill of goods.
Oh.
I mean, wow. That's my personal theory. That doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
Yeah. And then, so there's that news story. If you liked him, good for you. I don't know anyone who really liked Sean Spears.
I wasn't a fan. I mean, I wish the guy all the best. You know, I hope he finds his place in the business. He's clearly passionate about it, you know. But I feel, personally, just because you're passionate about something doesn't mean you're good at something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. So many good.
Literally hundreds of wrestlers on the independent scene who just aren't good. Like, we see them all the time. Hmm?
There's a whole roster full of them on like AEW.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Friends are friends, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's how the business works.
Yeah. And then the other piece of, I don't really know if it's news or not, but it just, you know, because I have so many people that I have like blocked, so I don't see a lot of things on my timeline, but this particular subject came up quite a bit on my timeline this week. So it was Phil Brooks' return to Madison Square Garden.
That was cute.
That was not cute. Okay, first of all, the word cute and Phil Brooks do not go together.
Look.
There are spectrums of the alphabet. All right, but here's the thing. Somebody on my ex, as I call it ex, had basically said that, is this what his career has succumbed to? Is he's going to be like the new Tom McGee and all of his matches are going to be seen through, like, instead of like videotape, it's all going to be like through people's phones. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, it's his first match back. Come on. His first match back, Madison Square Garden, it was a dark show, you know. Like, I know. I like everyone else, really disappointed in the guy. Have watched him fail time after time. Have no faith in what he's doing. Sure, he can talk, but the rest of him fails in my mind these days. But at the same time, you got to give the man some breathing room because he's back in a company that knows how to rein him in. You know, he's back in a company where if he tries to, you know, go into business for himself, somebody's going to fuck him up.
He's already done it.
That's not what I've heard so far.
He's already done it. I mean, there's a lot of things that he's getting that other people have gotten. They've gotten released from, you know, before. And it's because of this guy who just was bad-mouthing people left and right. It's the same behavior. But I will say this. You know what? Him wrestling in Madison Square Garden, whoop-de-fucking-do. Tiffany and Co. gave him some, like, fucking whatever. He's like, oh, this is beautiful. I'm like, you don't even know what the fuck that shit is. But anyways, it'll be at a pawn shop near you in Chicago, in Wicker Park. I'm just going to say that. Give it a year or two. Actually, give it after he gets fired again. And yeah, has nowhere to go.
He's going
to
get fired. I think he's going to run his contract and then he's going to be done. And we're never seeing him again.
Oh, we'll see him because his fucking big mouth and ego will just, he can't let it go. Okay. He's Rose on Titanic. He can't let that shit go. Well, he cannot let it go.
We'll see.
But yeah, but I think it's ridiculous. I don't know. It's, I think it's ridiculous, but you know.
You're not wrong. It was a nice cheap pop for them. You know, it was a good pop for him. It made him happy. You know, my highlight of that show was Seth Rollins, like, just free mic'd and got permission from the back, went up and started talking about Brody and Wyndham. So that was a big thing where he was like, you know, I saw a couple of fireflies out there when I, you know, got finished with my match and I had to come back out here and, you know, and he threw it up and put the fans over and at the same time get a good honorable memory to two of their fallen. And if you didn't know, Wyndham, Bray Wyatt, he is on a Legends contract and all proceeds of his merch goes directly to his family. That is classy AF. Like, you couldn't ask for a better response.
I think that they need to make that more publicly known.
Oh, it is. Because
I don't think a lot of, is it?
It just hasn't been, like, for some reason nobody cares. Even though a lot of people care. But yeah, it's public. It's out there. It's on some news sites. It's not on the dirt sheets. That's probably the issue. The dirt sheets have no reason to stoke it. How do you stoke a dead man's grave? What's the quote from that?
They did it with Brody Lee, though.
They did it with Brody Lee until like two or three people started, you know, coming in with the good graces. With Bray, it was minute one. No one got the chance to badmouth him.
No, it wasn't badmouthing. It was the, okay, yeah, it spread like wildfire of, oh, yeah, you know, if you buy this or this, all these proceeds are going to go to, you know, his family, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, that's where it's kind of a shame in that aspect. But, you know, like I said.
Well, there's still merch. It's still selling. I mean, that's kind of the benchmark. If a guy who's no longer alive and his merch is outselling yours, wow.
Yep.
I don't know who to deal with on that one.
No. But one last bit of news, because this just reminded me, is AEW. The vice president of merchandising for AEW, Dana Leaving. Massey, has stepped down.
He's not the last one either. There's more coming in January.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that a lot of people, and I'm getting this on my ex, okay, there's a lot of people bad-mouthing her. And yeah. I mean, okay, first of all, I'm just going to say this because this is shit that I know. Way before there was a pro wrestling tease, way before, the Young Bucks had a site that was youngbucksmerch.com. It was a real thing there. They did very, very, very limited edition runs of some cool-ass shit. Let me tell you, one of my favorites, and this was probably, I bought these in 2015, 2014, maybe, was they had these really amazing, like, camo-esque sweats and a sweatshirt that were, like, you know, the mustard yellow and green and brown and whatever. And it had their name, like, the Young Bucks, but the Y was in the Japanese yen sign, and at the S on the end was the dollar sign. It was great. I mean, they had really great merchandise. It was like quality. They've always had really, really great merch and stuff, and she was on top of that, you know, because she did it with them.
She was on top of a lot of things. That's just she one was. Of the many things.
Yeah. Now the problem that people are saying, well, you know, the merchandise and all the live events suck. Well, here's the thing. You cannot blame Dana Massey for that. No. Okay, because if you look at the booking of Tony Khan, you can't put all of these people, all of them, to have a shirt there. Okay,
her job had nothing to do with that. It was no. The, here's this, do this. And she was the one that coordinated the effort. She had nothing to do with that.
She had nothing to do with what was out there. And my thing is, it's like, okay, how can you, okay, this is coming from me, my question to the world, is that how can you say, well, at an AEW show, God damn it, there needs to be a Swerve shirt. There's got to be a freaking, where's my Ricky Starks merch? Where's my Miro shirt? Where's, you know, this, that, and the other? You can't do that because of Tony's booking. Because you don't know if you're going to see X, Y, and Z. Like, you're like, oh my God, I love Keith Lee. He's my favorite. Where's a shirt? Like, oh, boy, I'm pro wrestling tees to buy it. Because
the tragedy of AEW is everything is fan fantasy booking, from the booker themselves to the wrestlers wanting to get over the way they're doing it to the fans wanting X, Y, and Z out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna come crashing down. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't hope so. I'd hope everybody keeps a good job, they're making good money, but I don't see a positive end.
Yeah. And I think that you can only go with the staples that you know are constant. So your staples are Orange Cassidy, MJF,
Danhausen,
The Acclaimed, even though they're really not wrestling that much anymore. Not necessarily the Bucks and Omega.
Not anymore.
Well, no, but even before, like when I went during the Rampage time, the first time I ever went, you didn't see that. No, you saw MJF, Orange Cassidy, obviously all the generic AEW shit. Not even Darby. Like, I thought that in Seattle, okay, we would get, because you had a pay-per-view, you had the Collision the night before. Mm-hmm. I thought that you'd get, because Seattle is Swerve's and Darby's and, you know, Bryan Danielson, that's their home area, that they'd have like a special shirt. Each of them would have one. No. That was a very missed opportunity. Because let me tell you that, you know, I would have bought each of the shirts. I would have. Yeah. But no. Like Hobbs, when he was in Oakland or in San Francisco, no. Like, especially Oakland, that shit would have, that whole arena, that is the fucking loudest goddamn. All right. Personally, I think that was one of the better crowds. That was probably the best crowd they had in the Bay Area, was Oakland. Mm-hmm. I hope Tony Khan acknowledges that, because they all love themselves some Will Hobbs, and especially because they really pushed the Oakland thing. Because I don't know if you saw yesterday, the Don Callis family, you know, he does those portraits. He did new portraits. I fucking love the one with Will Hobbs. Not because fucking Don Callis was throwing the West Side sign and they look gangster, but if you look in the background of it, this was a detail that I was like, me didn't have my glasses on. I was like, oh my God, is that like the Fox Theater sign from Oakland? And sure as shit it was. And I'm like, damn. Little details like that, whoever did this is amazing. One, and two, they need to make this print like on a shirt or somehow that I can buy it, because I thought it was amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing. And but you don't see that kind of stuff. I mean, because posters are easy to, like, as a one-off to, like, run, you know, and have something very limited at a show. Yeah, people love that shit.
But yeah, anything that's like that, you know, you know, something commemorative, something, you know, histrionic that they can take. Well, hey, that was done from back here. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, ECW's iconic Philadelphia arena.
Yeah. Now, for example, okay, Full Gear. Okay, mm-hmm. Forum. They did a show the night before. They did Full mm-hmm. Gear. And they had a Better Than You Bay Bay shirt in Lakers colors.
Yeah.
None of them are from there. Like, that's a, you know, I would think you'd see that, and that's a Young Bucks thing that they would do, you know. But
it's fan pandering. It's gonna where it is.
Yeah. But also at the same time, there's certain mm-hmm. things where you kind of am like, you expect, like, for example, coming up New Orleans, when they're in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the one guy that really should have the main event at that show, he gets shirt? No.
Yep.
No. Nope. Nope. Mm-mm. I'm sure there'll be something at full year, World's End, that's going to be like pandering to MJF. But, you know, I just feel that, you know, Dana did a lot of great things, but don't shit on her just because that her husband.
Yeah, she doesn't deserve that. Like, if it wasn't for Dana, that they never would have gotten into Wembley. That's a fact. It had 99% to do with her, not the product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she did have the connections, because anybody who, and you can hate them as much as people want to hate them, you cannot tell me that even before, because with Pro Wrestling Tees, they also, they had their Young Bucks merch store. That had nothing to do with Pro Wrestling Tees. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It was a separate entity, but they had shit on there that was like, whoa, this is like, that was really like game changer and stuff. Yeah. That Pro Wrestling Tees saw how successful it was and adopted that.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair. Yeah.
But again, you know, she, for what it's worth, she did an amazing job. Unfortunately, you know, as we go into January and see other people who are probably going to be leaving positions and whatnot, I think that it's going to be very telling.
It's what's going to be interesting.
And I will say this again. If you guys are new to us, please go back to episode one. Many episode ones ago. Many. And I basically had said originally, and a while ago, said it many times, this is not the company that those guys who put All In together were wanting to start. This is not that company. This is not it. So don't shit on people for, you know, like them like wanting to back out, or some people who are like, yeah, you know, because it wasn't.
Yeah. Take a cue from the chaser. Even with people we don't like, we're not looking at them to lose their job. We're not looking at them to fail or die in a fire. We're looking at, okay, we might not like it, but there's another side to this too, you know?
Do I want Ocean Spray to die in fire?
I mean, that's
but not really. No, I mean, no. No, I do want to shove him because he shoved me. But I mean, it's like one of these things is you got to realize, and especially if, you know, if you're one of these big AEW fan people, because a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon when it started, and I can name a lot of you people, a lot of you podcasters out there. I can name y'all. And I know every one of you has me blocked too. Just saying.
Eh.
But I will say that if you look at that last year that everyone was under contract with New Japan and ROH, and you looked at everything that happened then and why All In came about, you'd understand how big of a deal that is. Now, I look back on it and I think, yeah, that was a huge deal, a very, very huge deal, because that was something that an independent show, no one ever would have thought that you could do a show that big.
It's and, true.
You know, nobody knew. They even said it. They were like, wow, we were lucky that maybe we'd sell like 1,000, 2,000. But to sell it out in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That says a lot. That says a lot. Yeah. And it was, even if you looked at it too, the it was tickets that were there. There weren't very many on the black market at all. There are maybe like 100, 200 at most. And it's very shocking to say that, yeah, a lot of people were invested in that, because it was something, especially if you watched independent wrestling, this was a huge deal. I mean, people from all over the world came. I mean, that's how big it is. I don't agree with the all-in name being used anymore. I don't. It never should have been. That's an issue I have with Tony. But, you know, money talks. So, yep. You know, but it was something that will never probably be duplicated. I mean, it could. But if anything, I think that it would be done on a different... If something were to happen again, I think it would be done on a very, very small scale. Very. And as much as people like to make the comment of, well, some people think they're back in Reseda, you know, when some of these people were in Reseda, it was fucking, people might not know this, but it was very impactful. If it wasn't for Reseda, a lot of people who work for WWE right now would not have jobs.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. And even with like AEW, a lot of these guys wouldn't have jobs. And because I can't tell you right now, except for, well, right now, if I look back on the last couple of years of PWG, mm-hmm. nobody who had wrestled there, except for one, well, two. One is a piece of shit, but two of them, you know, aren't currently active with some promotion that's pretty substantial, whether it be TNA, AEW, ROH, or WWE.
Fair.
Yeah, so that's a lot. No.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot. I mean, we could get histrionic about it, but we could get all histrionic about it, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, they're either going to learn the lesson or they won't. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is where it is.
Yeah. Would I want them to do something on their own that's kind of like in that, like a little super indie? Yeah, part of my heart says they should.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, is what it is. So, but we'll see. I don't think they're done. They're not done by any stretch of the imagination. They're not done yet. They're not. I don't see the Bucks being done yet.
No.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Who knows? They might get a lot of money. Well, I don't think they'll go WWE anymore. But, you know, because certain people that are there. But they'll do something.
Producer Lady here. Thanks for tuning in. Continue to support and buy us a drink by putting the I in subscribe and reviewing our podcast. And cheers to Fans First Sports Network for keeping the dive bar lights on.
I would never have a drink with wrestling on the rocks.